Hi, my name is Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats something or other podcast. What you've just listened to was a live rendition of the theme tune. I know it wasn't perfect. I've been really out of practice with the violin lately because I haven't had very much time to do things. Life has stretched me kind of thin recently, and I've elected over the next 4 weeks or so to take a break from doing Four Trees. But fear not, there will continue to be content. It will just be rather different content, and I do intend on being back once it's over. I've just got some other things that I need to attend to, like a radio show that I've been asked to write, and some portfolio things, and applying to jobs, and also just trying to decompress from what the last few months have put me through, what with the live stream overlay project and cat meet and all that stuff. Like, it's just been a real drag, and I need a break. So I've decided that instead of reading a book that I won't enjoy for this episode, I'm just going to talk a little bit about music, since I've been doing a lot more of music since the last time I've spoken about music on this podcast. This is Tune Talk 2, technically, but I don't want to label it that because I want to be able to keep Tune Talk as a thing that you can just jump into whenever without needing any context. So recently I've been writing more music, in particular for Warriors Cats. I talked about that on the podcast recently. I put out a couple of songs on my channel. One of them is called Leaves, and the other one is called Three of Them. And then there's a third one, which is a cover called Tribulations, which is basically a version of Trials, Troubles, Tribulations by EC Ball, except for that I replaced the words to be more about Warrior Cats, because, you know, I thought it would be fun. And you know what? I was right. It is a lot of fun. Like, I have some rudimentary recording versions of those that are all right. And just generally, like, I don't know. It's been a lot of fun to do. And it's taught me a lot more about songwriting that I hadn't previously considered. I'm not much of a songwriter. I have a lot more of a comfortable time composing, because composing can just be me making weird stuff with my violin and my loop pedal. But with songwriting, I have to have, like, words and things that, you know, that's not necessarily comfortable territory for me, because while I'm comfortable with my words in certain respects, I'm not comfortable with them in others. And I think that first of all, like, singing is something that I don't particularly enjoy doing. Well, I love doing it, but, like, I feel as though I'm not particularly strong at it. And I'd like to get stronger at some point. But until then, like, I feel like I'm just kind of struggling through my songs, like limping through them, trying to get the point across. Like, these are the notes, these are the melodies. Please, somebody else sing this for me so that, you know, I can take a rest. Part of that comes down partially to, like, voice concerns, and part of that comes down to not being certain with the vernacular that I'm using. I feel as though there's quite a lot that goes into, like, cadence and syllable choices and diction that is just not necessarily something that I've captured. I think maybe my favorite song that I've written so far is a song that I based off of listening to a bunch of Mandolin Orange songs. And it's called O Sequoia. And even that has, like, a thing that I stole from another song, because, like, apparently I can't even come up with regular ideas. Like, I was like, well, I need another verse, because I suck at writing verses. So let's just, like, you know, steal another one real quick. And so, like, at the end of it, it's got it's steering clear of the ears of deer who may not be around. Or if I were to play it, it would sound something like this. Auspicious birds will nest in you, great chimney of the glen. The damning sight, firelight, was never quite the end. Falls this cusp so calcified, it will not make a sound. Steering clear of the ears of deer, may not be around. Oh, Sequoia! And, you know, whatever, that's a fine lyric, it's acceptable. Like, I think it's not the best thing that I could have written there, but whatever, it gets the point across. Like, you know, there's this tree, it's continues to provide for nature even after it's dead, and when it falls, it will make sure that it does so gently so as not to, you know, disrupt nature. Except for that, it's, like, not fine, because it is from a song that I did, like, a year ago called Blah Blah Blah. I say a year ago, it was actually this year. It was at the start of this year, right when the virus is breaking out. And some people that I knew from university were having an art gallery of some kind. And I was like, you know what? I like the prompt, but I don't really want to like go to a gallery. So I'm just going to like submit a video if that's cool with you guys. So I like took some footage that I had and I wrote a song, this song called Blah, Blah, Blah. And I just kind of let that be the thing that I submitted. And then they wrote me back and they were like, hey, thanks for your submission. But like, this isn't what we're not going to accept this because, you know, we're not going to go virtual. And I said, okay, whatever. And then a couple of weeks later, they decided that they were going to go virtual because, you know, the virus got really bad and they still did not show my thing. So, you know, shows what I know. But yeah, this is where the limerick originally, this is where the lyric originally came from. And I wrote this in like a day, so I do not think that it was well conceived then. And I think the only reason why I ended up using it in O Sequoia was because it was easy for me to lift, because most of my songs have the same rhyming pattern going on.
The solipsists are selfish. Who could ever realize that the madness of our human world is the making of one mind? When a tree falls in the forest, it will never make a sound, so as not to harm the ears of deer who may not be around.
Right, and you can pretty clearly see, like, similarities between even those two songs. I did not realize this while writing O Sequoia, but, like, as in Blah 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 has a very straightforward chord progression. It goes G major. You hear that? That's a D minor. That's a D major. A minor, and then C major. And this actually kind of comprises, this is probably one of my, very akin to my favorite chord progression. And I understand that, like, you know, that's, my favorite chord progression is, but yeah, that's like, you know, it's, basically O Sequoia, has a very, very similar one. It has E minor to B minor to, F major 7 to C major. And functionally speaking, basically the difference, the only difference between those two is, let's see. So, God, this is hard to explain to non-music people. Basically, Blah 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 starts off with major first, whereas O Sequoia starts off with a minor sixth. And these two are almost the same chord, basically. They serve very similar functions within a thing. Basically, it's kind of like major... Here G major is the major first, and E minor is the minor sixth. But these two are kind of like this... I don't know. E minor is like the edgier cousin to G major, right? It's like if G major was going through like a bit of a thing or had like a bit of a slump, he's like, oh yeah, I'm sad today. But now I'm back to normal. And that's just kind of how it is. And then it goes to B minor. Or if you're playing Blah Blah Blah, it goes to D major. And again, those two are very similar. This is a minor second. Or minor, I think it's like a minor third, and then this would be a major fourth, and these are, they're very similar. Again, like this isn't these two have very similar functions. And then what's interesting is O Sequoia kind of has this like this little walk down where it's like, and what's cool about that is basically, when you're hearing this and then this, your mind wants to complete it to this, which is A minor or the minor second for G major, even though what it actually goes to is this. It's very similar to A minor, except for that it's not. Functionally speaking, this is like the minor flat minor seventh or something like that. And that's just kind of, they serve a similar function within the chord. Like if you were to listen to these two next to each other, there is a very minor difference, and so when I transition from this to this, even though it's not technically what works the best, it still works within the context of that. But again, If we go back to blah, 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 the chord that goes there from D major is this. And with O Sequoia, it's this. So they're very similar. And then they both end on C major, which is the major fifth of G, the G major scale chord. Yeah, basically these two have very similar things, and I even freaking stole a line for myself. So I don't like words. This is a very roundabout way of saying like I'm not confident in my musical ability, and I can recognize the things that make me subpar, which is definitely part of learning. I've been doing a lot more recognition of things as of late because I think that is like it is a really good way to learn. As I've been getting further into Warrior's Cats music, of course, I've had to learn about Bliksemi, who is like the Warrior Cats musician, essentially. There are a few others that I've met, but nobody has like the same clout. Nobody's been able to make it like a YouTube job for them, aside from Bliksemi. And by the way, props to you, Bliksemi. That's really freaking cool, and congratulations. That's incredible, and your music is interesting. I think my favorite Bliksemi song is definitely Stride by Stride, which is the one that's like kind of about Blue Star's spirit having found her faith in Starkline, finally accepting her death and passing on and praising the oncoming reign of Firestar. You read the books, you know what this is about, you know. Hey, this is Spencer from later on in the podcast. I've just decided to cut in the middle of this tangent and actually play the song because I end up talking about it quite a lot and it would be useful to have that like background information, so.
Time, you got nothing but time now to let your fire shine, shine brightly for me. Do all that you can do, do all I wasn't able to, but do it for you. Go now, it's your time, and I'll be right there by your side, stride by stride. Fear will no longer live here. Let all your worries disappear. Your fate will be clear. So please, love my clan deeply, and love them completely. I'll live on in you. Go now, it's your time, and I'll be right there by your side, stride by stride.
And I feel like this song in particular, I feel like some of the other ones are more tuned in and more specific to the other Warrior Cats books, and there's probably a lot less like relatability from them. The one about Tawnypaw and Bramblepaw are pretty clearly about Tawnypaw and Bramblepaw, and this is probably just because like my favorite preferred timbre of music is folk music, so I'm better inclined to like songs that can be interpreted as folky. But I think the sentiment of like my dad is a criminal and everybody thinks that we're like him, and the story of Stride by Stride, which is kind of about a mother singing one last lullaby to her son on her deathbed, is, you know, I'm gonna choose Stride by Stride basically every time, right? It's heartbreaking, and I feel like to an extent everybody can more or less relate to this, you know, idea of somebody passing on something to us, whether it be, you know, a freshman, or, you know, when we're a freshman and the seniors are talking to us about how we're going to take their club to the heights, you know, that they never hit, or some, you know, like we all have legacies that are foisted upon us to some extent. And I guess you could say that Tawnypaw and Bramblepaw have those too, but I feel as though when it comes from a folk song perspective, which one will play out better? Stride by Stride, no question. That's, you know, it's really good. I think the actual like musicality of the piece plays into it a lot more than the others, which are more like lyrically focused. I'm definitely the wrong person to ask about hip hop, so I can't really comment on like the Hamilton-esque style of lyric writing that Bliksemi likes to emulate. except to say that it sounds very musical-esque, which I do dig. I think treating Warrior Cats as a musical is a really like strong interpretation of the source material, and the way that that's reflected by a focus on the lyrics makes a lot of sense to me. I think that it's part of why Bliksemi's music is so cool and interesting to listen to and holds a lot of power within the fan base. Like, she's not the only musician, but she's the most prominent one, and there's a reason for that. Going back to Stride by Stride, let me adjust my chair. You get this in Stride by Stride, you get this really cool like interplay between the lyric writing and the chord progression, and like I don't know how much this was a factor in the songwriting process, but I think it lends a really good deal of substance. In the verses, we start out with the major first, and then we go to the major fifth, the major fourth, and then back to the major first. And then the lyric structure for each verse starts with like kind of the thesis of this verse, and then a promise to Firestar, and then calling back to Blue Star, and then they tie it up with a connection between these two characters, right? So major first, time, you've got nothing but time. Sorry. Time, you've got nothing but time now. Major fifth, to let your fire shine. Major fourth, shine brightly for me. And then back to the major first. So we get this cool kind of... The major fifth is this strong chord, this like powerful feeling that we use when Blue Star is making promises about the future. You know, this is what's gonna happen. And then we kind of bring it back when she starts talking about the failure that she made with these major fourths. You know, things are happening. Things did happen, and then we go back to the major first, which is kind of like home base, to talk about, you know, when it's just about the two of them, when it's just about their relationship between Blue Star and Firestar. I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I just think it's a really cool thing that you can actually like analyze this. And it makes me think a lot about how you can do something as simple as these basic chords, like major first, major fifth, major fourth and stuff. They're used in almost every song in existence. And potentially, you know, if you're clever, if you're good at this kind of thing like Bliksemi is, you can use them to lend more meaning to your lyric writing. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but lyric writing is where I struggle the most, and I have a tendency to write every song to the same kind of cadence as The Night Before Christmas, or I'll go off on tangents about trees when I run out of things to say. So this song is a cool case study for me, at least, about how I can effectively use chords in tandem with the lyrics to help myself along. I'm definitely better at composing than I am at lyricism, so it's nice to think about this like kind of foothold that I can use now. Another reason I like Stride by Stride is because it's got such like simple lyrics and chords, you can really easily mix it with other songs, which is this is something you find at folk sessions all over the place. Folk music is really cool in general because you get these amalgamations of songs and different interpretations from all around the world where songs and lyrics will get mixed up and just spat all over the place. Like there are these two distinct songs, Dink's Song and The Leaving of Liverpool, that have the same charismatic, like, fare thee well in the chorus. And you have to assume that they crossed paths or might have even been the same song at one point. This is The Leaving of Liverpool to demonstrate. Oh, it's fare thee well, my darling true. I'm leaving in the first hour of the morn. I'm bound off for the Bay of Mexico, or maybe the coast of California. So it's fare thee well, my one true love. We'll meet another day, another time. It ain't the leaving that's a grieving me, but the true love who's bound to stay behind. Right, and then you get Dink's Song, which is kind of like, had wings like Noah's dove, I'd fly the river to the one I love. sometimes people will take lyrics from one song and they'll like swap them into another song, or they'll like take one tune and they'll set other lyrics to them, and it's a really cool and interesting phenomenon to me. It happens a lot in folk music. One notable example would probably be Auld Lang Syne. The tune that it was set to initially, there's the tune that we all know, which is like, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of Auld Lang Syne? But there's another melody that Robert Burns actually preferred it set to, and it just, you know, that wasn't the version that got popular. So this is a half the time whenever I'm playing Stride by Stride, my mind will connect at the chorus. There's like this minor sixth. It's like, go now, it's your time. And half the time my mind will connect that minor sixth at the chorus to the minor sixth from the chorus of Falling Slowly from the musical Falling Slowly. And do all that you can do. Do all I wasn't able to do it for you. You have suffered enough and warred with yourself. It's time that you won. Take this sinking boat and point it home. We've still got time. Raise your hopeful voice. You've had the choice. You've made it now. So yeah, just like accidentally moving the chorus over, or, you know, using another song. And then the other half of the time, whenever I'm playing it, my mind connects it to one of the verses of Blue Skies by Irving Berlin. So please love my clan deeply, and love them completely. I'll live on in you. Saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Oh, blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on. And yes, I know it's really tasteless to sing Blue Days, All of Them Gone in a song about Blue Star dying, but it just fits really well. So yeah, Stride by Stride, underrated song for sure, and I like it for a lot of reasons, and those were the reasons. I hope that you enjoyed that tangent.
Okay, hi, it's Spencer from the future. Not the same future as the Spencer from earlier from the future, but like, you know, a later future, because I recorded this yesterday and then I went to sleep and I woke up today and I have some additional thoughts that I think work a lot better than the original thoughts that I was going to end this episode on. I think part of what attracts me to that song in particular is the simplicity of it and how unafraid it is of that simplicity. On an intellectual level, I know that the song is just like a nice piano piece that she found with some lovely vocals and thoughtful lyrics on top, but on a personal and like analytical level, the simplicity of the thing overall creates this wonderful ambiguity for me to project my interpretations and potentially for other people to project their interpretations on as well. And I think that there's a lesson in there for me as like a musician. Ever since Three of Them got big on Twitter, I've been kind of pushing myself to do more with the music I write because I see it as, like, really boring from part to part. Like, all I do is strum chords and sing notes, you know? It's like, it feels very samey to me. So I'll, like, you know, whenever I'm recording, I'll have to throw in riffs or try to switch up the finger-picking pattern or whatever, and it usually results in these, like, overwrought and really dense songs that could absolutely stand to be simplified. There's a song coming out today or yesterday from when this is going to be posted that's basically a perfect example of me being like, oh god, what if it's too samey, and throwing a whole bunch of stuff in there just to see what sticks. And that's, like, fine, because I'm a new musician, and, like, I need to figure out where my place is. But I realize now, you know, as I criticize myself for doing these things, that I'm being far too hard on myself. I'm new to being a musician. I bought my guitar earlier this year, and I've still only had, like, 4 violin lessons. Just because, like, my skills aren't where I'd like them to be doesn't mean that I'm bad at doing music. It just means that I have room to grow. My, you know, instrument skills might not be the best, but my analysis skills, I think, are pretty dang good, like, considering where I am right now. And I think that that's nothing to sneeze at, and I think that's something that I'm not considering enough as I do all of this. I don't need to fill my music with meaningless noise, because there are going to be people out there who appreciate the simplicity in it. People like, oh, I don't know, myself, and all the people who like 3 of them, because, like, that song was literally just, you know, 2 people singing and then occasional violin picking. There wasn't any, like, whistling or bass parts or, you know, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with the music that I make, and there's nothing wrong with reusing old lyrics. Other artists do it all the time, and being picky about other chord progressions and being like, well, I shouldn't have used a B minor here, that's too similar to the D major, which I used in another thing, is, like, it's not only the stupidest thing that I've said within the past week, it's the stupidest thing I might have ever said, ever. Cause, like, it's so dumb. Like, I shouldn't be criticizing myself for that. It's ridiculous. Other artists use the same chord progressions all the time. They use the same lyrics all the time. There's no reason, I would not hold them to this level of scrutiny. So there's no reason that I should be holding myself to the same level of scrutiny. Like, who's watching? Who is looking at this and being like, oh, I'm so disappointed that Spencer used the same chord progression twice in these 2 songs. Nobody's doing that. Everybody's like, oh, sweet, a new Spencer song. I really like 3 of them by Warrior Cat's Twitter, you know, or something like that. So yeah, that's just kind of where I've landed now after having a nice sleep and a nice think about all of the stuff that I said yesterday. I'm going to, like, leave it here because I think this constitutes a nice arc for this podcast to take. But, like, yeah, I think that... Well, it's good to be doing analysis and metacognition. I think that there's a certain level to which you should be holding yourself, and I might be holding myself a little bit high. I'm not, like, you know, I'm not Andrew Bird yet, you know? When I get to be Andrew Bird, maybe some of these criticisms will be a lot more valid. Maybe I should be thinking more about what I'm using in my music. But, like, I'm just starting out, you know? Major first, major fifth, major fourth is fine. You know, it's in fact, it's better than fine. It's excellent. It's great. There's a reason why people have been using it for hundreds of years. And it's not, I'm not any better than them. I shouldn't be, like, pretending that I am, or, like, trying to hold myself to be, because I'm not. And nobody is. If you listen to all of this rambling and drivel, I hope you enjoyed it. I promise this isn't what every episode of Four Trees is like. I usually talk about Warrior Cats and have guests. I just kind of needed an extra episode today to fill the air between now and next week when the D&D episodes start. Oh yeah, did I mention that we were doing D&D episodes? I didn't mention that. I actually made a point to put it at the end so only the real ones would know. Also, because, like, I don't want anybody else to rush out an episode before I do. I've noticed that nobody else is doing D&D episodes in this podcast ecosphere, so, you know, it's exciting to be the first. Sorry, a truck just passed by with a bunch of stuff on it. But yeah, there's a... For the next 4 weeks, Four Trees is going to be airing a one-shot that I had with some of my friends who know very little about Warrior Cats. It's complete with new music composed by my friend Jerry Mouseman, and a new visualizer and a custom thumbnail by my friend Lily, who also helped me out with some other things when I was starting out. We also got some neat little ads that I've been making in my spare time, so yeah, you have that to look forward to. That's been this week's Four Trees. Hope you enjoyed. I'm gonna play myself out.
Thank you.